Hey shitheads, exciting announcement alert. We've got merch.
There are a few ways that you can get your hands on this merch. One, keep checking our Instagram story for periodic giveaways.
And two, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/upshitscreek, sign up at the podcast producer level, and you'll get your pick of either a t-shirt, a tote bag, or a mug.
And remember, shitheads, this is all while supplies last, and this stuff is not for purchase. It is going to be given away to all of our fabulous listeners. That's you.
And now, on with the show.
Are you sure this is what you want, David? This looks like someone put a tarp over their living room furniture.
Yeah, I'm going for an English estate in the off season.
Okay, it's just, do you really want these photos to say my relationship is an old estate in the off season? Why don't I show you the county fair backdrop? I think a Ferris wheel would look so cute on a mouse pad.
Greetings, it's the Duke here.
And I'm Lady J, and this is Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast.
Dedicated to all things Schitt's Creek.
How are you, the Duke?
You know, I have mixed emotions.
Aww.
I do.
Man.
It was tough to get through this one.
Yeah.
I was not expecting it.
No.
So, yeah.
It's a weird thing because, not to get too ahead of ourselves, but who cares? If you're listening to this, you've seen the episode.
I hope so.
It's so crazy because I feel like we knew this was coming. We've been predicting and talking about this for like 2.5 seasons.
Yeah, I don't think that we knew exactly like how it was going to play out. We just knew that somehow something was going to culminate.
Right, and that's what's so amazing about this episode is that while it felt like the inevitability that we were expecting,
yeah,
they made it a moment.
They did. They certainly
did. They made it a thing. Yeah. And I was not expecting that.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a lot more for this storyline and for these two characters.
Yeah.
And acted so beautifully by them both.
Amazing.
Yeah. But, you know, all wonderful things come to an end, apparently.
As does the stupid show that I love so much. It's not fair.
Well, don't talk about that right now because
okay,
I can't
you're right. We
both
agreed,
losses at
we
the same
agreed
time.
We wouldn't talk about the end of the show until the end.
Yeah.
Before we really get into it, though, we have some Schitt's news.
Beep, 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 beep.
Annie has been cast as the lead of a new AMC show.
Oh, my gosh.
It's very exciting. We've been talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we've been talking about it, but the culture has been talking about what's Annie's next move, because she is clearly crushing life on this show.
Yeah.
And here she's going to be the lead on a prestigious AMC show, which is awesome.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these characters deserve to do something after the show, right? But I mean, she's just really funny. She's a genuinely a phenomenal actor.
Yes.
And I am so happy that she's going to be doing something after the show.
Yeah.
And like right away.
Right. Well, we don't know when it'll go. If it'll go, right? Because is it set to go or is it just the pilot?
I think it's just the pilot so far. Okay. But, you know,
I mean,
I don't know.
What
for
else
sure.
does AMC have in their pipeline? So
they have a few things.
That's true. I was being silly.
They have one of my favorite shows of all time. Breaking Bad.
Oh, but not anymore.
No. Well, they have Better Call Saul.
That's true.
They're doing something.
I feel like when AMC first picked up Breaking Bad and Mad Men, they became like the IT network.
Yeah, that one too. I forgot about that show.
And low-key, I feel like Pop is doing what AMC did at the time with comedy.
Yeah.
They're picking up like random things. They're doing a bunch of syndication stuff. Now they're doing reruns of Colbert in the morning after his late night show airs.
Yeah.
They're like really putting themselves on the map.
And they just took One Day at a Time, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we see the commercial every 2 seconds when we're watching this show. I can't get that song out of my head.
One day at a time.
Oh, my gosh. My son watches it with me, and he's like, why do I have to hear that one more time? I'm like, you and me both. Great that I got a second chance.
Yeah.
Pop picked it up, so.
Way to go, Pop.
Yeah.
Pop goes the weasel.
You know, at some point that was bound to be said. So
I can't believe I've never said that before.
I can't either.
Right?
Dan was nominated or is going to be receiving.
Oh, the human rights campaign.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. We haven't talked about that, I don't think.
And Catherine is getting the Lifetime Artistic Achievement Award.
Right.
Coming up in Canada.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I mean, duh.
Come on.
Shocking no one.
Der.
O'Hara's era.
Yeah.
And good stuff, man.
All good stuff.
Keep them coming, Schitt's Creek cast. All righty. Let's dive in.
Mm-hmm.
To episode 608, titled The Presidential Suite. And the Pop TV synopsis is Johnny and Moira spend a night at the presidential suite in the Nemo Hotel while Alexis receives a surprise visitor. Before we get into what happens in this episode, let's get into our first segment.
Oh, word. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word. The segment where we give you our words for this episode. Should we give some of the words that our listeners have sent to us?
Yes, we got a lot
before we get into ours.
Time.
Yeah. Our first word was sent in from Scatterjoy. That's her Instagram name. It's nostalgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jennifer K. Leach.
Ah, Jennifer K. Leach.
Sent us switch.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Frank sent us needs or selfish.
Mm.
And Michelle sent us grudgingly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the other words that we received were proud, flashback, unsuitable, relationships, origins, sacrifice, sad, beautiful, funny, selfless.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's kind of like a theme here.
Yeah.
But I mean, all great words.
Yeah.
For the very first time,
mm-hmm.
Lady Jane the Duke thought of the same word.
Yeah.
So we thought, we're not going to change it. We're not going to have, you know, one of us is going to say, well, since that's your word, I'll pick another one. It's just so fitting.
Yeah.
And we both agreed that it was the very first thing that we thought of that came to our minds and to our hearts, really, when we saw this episode. So we're going to stick with our word. We're going to do this together. And what is our word for this episode, Lady J?
Are we going to say it in unison?
Sure.
On the count of three?
Yeah.
Okay. One, two, three.
Love. Very simple, yet very complicated.
Yeah.
And there's just also a lot behind it for this particular episode.
Absolutely. For me, it was just sort of the only word that just kept popping into my head. I was sort of struggling in general to nail down a theme kind of a thing for the episode.
Yeah.
And I just kept coming back to love. You see it in different forms play out through the different storylines here.
Yeah.
In even in multiple ways in each storyline, you know?
Sure.
And and so love.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfectly said. So moving on, let's start with this.
Let's get into it. Roland and Johnny and Moira and Jocelyn are all at the Nemo Hotel. It's their grand opening ribbon cutting ceremony for the Nemo Hotel. And it seems like Johnny wants to put a bit of pomp and circumstance into this.
Right.
Although I don't know whose idea it was to put Jocelyn in a blindfold.
That
doesn't seem like it was his.
I guarantee you it was Roland's.
Right?
And then Roland just like kind of forgot that like he put a blindfold on her. You know, this was supposed to be a thing where like, okay, honey, we're going to come and do this thing. It's like, as far as we know, she's never been to the hotel.
As far as we know.
As far as we know, Moira and Jocelyn have not been there. So I think in Roland's mind, this was a fun little way to introduce her to the motel.
I guess.
But again, I think he just forgot that he had this plan. Anyways, she's wearing a blindfold and nobody's telling her to take it off. Nobody's even acknowledging that she has it on.
She does. I mean, she's like, can I take this thing off
right now?
And he's like, no, you got to wait for Johnny's big reveal.
Okay.
But what is the big reveal? Like, take your blindfold off so we can cut the ribbon,
I guess. There is none. You see the motel behind them.
It's not like there's a drop, like a drape they're going to drop and reveal it. Like,
there is no reason that she needs to have this blindfold on.
It's insane. She does. And so they have this like tiny little ribbon and it's not even like hanging from anything. Like, they're just gonna hold it and then Johnny's gonna cut it. And so, of course, Moira has the scissors.
Okay, what are these? These won't cut a ribbon.
They're cuticle shears, John. You expected hedge clippers to be drawn from my purse.
Okay. All right. Hold it up and hold it taut, please.
I'm sorry, taut?
What is that, old English? How about I hold it tight?
Mr. Rose, just cut the ribbon.
Pull it.
Okay.
There we go. Okay.
How long is this going to take, Johnny? Should I cancel my New Year's plans?
Okay, you know what? Just drop the ribbon. Drop it.
All right.
Yay!
Okay. Step one now complete. On to step two.
And what would that entail?
Deep cleaning the rooms.
Well, I'd like to be put to use. What's step three?
You know, I think I need to lie down. That blindfold was quite taut.
She had it on this entire time.
No, I mean, she's taken it off by now.
Oh, okay.
So they do this hilarious ribbon thing. And now Johnny's like, okay, time to roll up our sleeves and get to work cleaning, which I am totally on Joss and Moira's side here. Like, I do not want to be the one on hands and knees scrubbing and dusting every single one of these 100 or so rooms. Are you joking me? Get a cleaning crew in here. Like,
yeah, like, I can appreciate the fact that Johnny wants to save a little bit of money.
This is not where you save
it. To what extent?
This is not where you save. How much is your time and energy worth?
And also, you don't know what you're going to come across
in
these rooms. And why expose yourself to this stuff? When you don't need to.
And the amount of like chemicals and things you're going to need to really deep clean, you don't want to be breathing those fumes. Like, get the professionals in here. They know what they're doing. They know how to use the products that they need to use.
I also want to mention that nobody is at Rosebud Motel right now.
That's also true, right? They're all here.
And what's Stevie's going on there? With David and Patrick.
Yeah, she's not even cleaning.
No.
I know. It's weird. The whole premise is a bit like, okay.
Look. You spent this much buying the hotel itself.
Yeah.
Spend a little bit more to get a cleaning crew in there.
Yeah. And think about how much faster it'll get done, too.
Yeah. And you know, they will have done a great job.
A professional job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, neither here nor there. Suspension of disbelief and all that.
Sure, sure.
They're cleaning the room, and it's a beautiful room.
It really is.
It's totally like that old world style, you know, like mid-century stuff and huge. Like, it has like an ante room. It has a whole kitchenette.
It's like a step down.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
It is cool.
And you can understand Moira's eyes lighting up and, you know, just like the thinking about, oh my God, like, what if? I mean, you figure they're quote unquote taking up some of their asset with the two rooms they have at the original Rosebud.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So what's the difference other than the fact that you could totally like upcharge a room like this if you rented it out, obviously.
Plus, nobody is using this place yet.
Yeah, right. But I think Johnny's whole thing is like, we could sell, we could charge a high rate for this room nightly.
Yeah.
And get people in here because it's nice and well appointed and everything. It could be like the star of this hotel, you know? And if they end up moving in there, then it's just not putting, it's not making money for them. And I can understand that. But your two rooms at the other place aren't making money for you either. Yeah. So you got to figure like cost benefit analysis.
I don't think Moira cares.
No, Moira doesn't.
No.
But Johnny, I feel like, should and, you know, maybe should more. I don't know.
All I know is in this scene when they're cleaning this hotel room, presidential suite.
Yes.
I cannot take my eyes off of Moira.
Oh, my gosh.
Laying on this bed with this feather duster in her hand, like just envisioning herself listening to the orcas.
She's reminded of Shanghai and their party secretary suite with the aquarium inside that housed orcas, multiple orcas. Can you imagine how large this suite was?
No. It's an entire, like,
SeaWorld. Like,
yes.
What the fuck?
It's fucking huge.
It must have been a giant party secretary suite.
Ugh.
But she is such a vision, just lounging.
Here,
like on this
great.
Bed with this giant feather duster of hers.
While Jocelyn's in the bathroom cleaning with bleach. And someone just handed Moira a feather duster, like, here, do something with
that. Do something. So Jocelyn and Roland start talking amongst themselves kind of thing about, oh, well, what if we just spent a weekend in here? Because we've been talking about doing a staycation anyway, and this is a nice room. Like, why don't we do that? That's when Johnny's like, no, no, no. We can't treat our assets like they're our possessions. That's bad business. And then when they leave, Moira's like, oh, good teamwork, John. We got them out of here.
Well, if that isn't teamwork, I don't know what is.
Oh, I know. The room looks pretty good, huh?
No, I'm talking about the way you and I threw them off the fragrance so that we could keep this suite to ourselves.
No, that's not what I was doing, Moira. No, it's very important at this stage to keep the bar set very high for Roland.
John.
Now, I just told them they couldn't stay here.
Oh, be careful, John. Lest you suffer vertigo from the dizzying heights of your moral ground.
This line puts me in stitches every time. I fucking love it. It's so funny.
And then when you follow it up with her.
Oh my God.
Not dusting, but smacking things.
Just throwing with this duster. This thing around.
And looking at him the entire time with this look.
If eyes could murder.
Yes. Dagger eyes, dude, for sure.
She is ready to, like, rip him a new one.
You know, she made sure she came with the funny real hard in this whole storyline.
Ugh, I love her so much. So then she hatches a scheme when they're back at the Rosebud. Mm-hmm. Do we have to start calling it the original Rosebud now? Because they're going to – it's no. A chain, right? I know. Yeah, I don't want to do it. I'm going to call our motel the Rosebud and this new one the Sherwood because that's actually what it's called.
Okay. That's fair.
Okay. So they're back at the Rosebud and Johnny's like reading the paper or whatever and Moira's in the bathroom.
Moira, what's going on in there?
Oh, it's my hands, John. It's the water. It's freezing cold.
Well, then move your hands.
How will I know if it's getting warmer if I'm not touching it?
Well, Moira, you've got the cold tap on. You've got to balance it with the hot.
Well, I'm sorry I'm not an alchemist, John. And it's not like there's a his sink for when the hers is inoperable.
Okay, Moira.
Excuse me while I try to pass through. Oh, John, these door frames. It's like trying to force oneself through the eye of a needle.
I can't.
This is every toddler everywhere.
Oh, my God.
How will I know it's getting warm? Who fucking touching?
I love like the way that he's just is like, well, you have to turn the hot on to blend the two and, you know,
to
even them
out.
Like, he's treating her so without any sort of, like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you know?
The fact that she says, I'm sorry, I'm not an alchemist.
What? So good.
Because he's good. Telling you how to get warm water? My God. Oh, man. This is where I'm telling you. She came with the funny hard in this one.
This is like a masterclass being Moira this episode.
Oh, yeah. Cherry on top as her trying to get through that door.
That's
what are you doing?
It brings me so much happiness seeing her fall over herself and Johnny trying to like balance her up, you know? And he's just like literally like, what the fuck is going on?
But what's great about this, though, is she knew she was going to get her way.
Oh, my God.
Because that bag was fucking packed and in the trunk.
It's in the car.
Ready to go.
She knows. Yeah. She knows her husband. She knows how to manipulate him and make him get on her page. Yep. But listen, though. She has a point. She's not wrong in the whole thing of why don't we deserve this? We have been, you know, in this dingy, small room for the better part of 3 years now. We have a chance to move up or have an upgrade, at least until we can actually get out of this town. Let's fucking take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Johnny's like, what about the kids? Well, first of all, David's getting married.
Yeah.
And presumably he will leave this room when he gets married. And Alexis, she's doing things. She's moving and shaking.
She's absolutely right. And everybody is moving on up. Yeah. Everybody is doing something to better themselves.
Right. Come on.
Given the opportunity, why shouldn't we?
And she uses the word perquisite, which brings us to our first Moira Say What of the episode.
Yes.
I didn't know that perk was like the short form of perquisite.
I didn't either.
I didn't know that until I looked it up.
Wow, I didn't either.
I've gone my whole life using the word perks.
I
not
guarantee
knowing.
You, a lot of fucking people didn't
I'm
know
sure
that.
That's true.
A lot.
Because when has the word perquisite ever been used in life?
Again, you know, never
takes,
heard it.
It takes a Moira to bring it to our attention. That's really. For damn sure. Yeah. But yeah, perquisite. So that's and that's her whole thing. She's like, "Don't we deserve this perquisite?" And I feel like, yeah, they do.
Watch me use that word every time now.
Right?
Absolutely. I'm going to use it with my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use it.
How often are you using the word perk with your kids?
Never, because they don't get any. If I don't, they don't. Yeah, I'm going to start using that now, and I'm going to have people like. Just freaking raise the eyebrow like, what?
Yeah, look it up.
Look it up, Kay. Yeah.
Johnny gives in. He's like, okay, fine. You're not wrong. Let's go. Your bag's already packed. Let's hit the road. And so they go, and it's very nice. They're having this beautiful, like, intimate, romantic night. Moira has poured martinis. Johnny's put a record on the record player. They come together. They're dancing. Not before Johnny does his, shall we say, hilarious JFK?
Yes, we shall.
There he is, my Ginty hotelier. How does it feel to be president in the presidential suite?
Well, let me say this about that, Moira. If not now, when? If not us, who?
Are you all right, John?
Oh, it's my JFK. Just playing into the theme.
Best to leave the voice work to me when setting a mood.
I love that.
So good.
His JFK impression is amazing.
It's great. And her acknowledgement of herself and her, like, voice affectation is even better.
Again,
like,
she's not wrong.
No.
So.
Another Moira say what in this episode is Ginchy.
Okay.
Which I didn't know what she was saying until I put the subtitles on, because initially I kept hearing Ginty. And so it's Ginchy, which is old slang for like cool, groovy, hep happening.
Ooh,
yeah.
I like that.
So she's like getting into the setting of the style of the room, you know?
Nice.
Like they're like having this like thing, and yeah, she calls her a Ginchy hotelier.
I like that,
which is fun.
She looks great, doesn't she?
Striking.
Yeah,
when you get that shot of her, I was like, oh my god.
Yes,
Moira.
Yeah,
actually there's a couple of breathtaking moments in this.
Yeah, she looks episode. sexy.
Yeah.
That's the word.
And
she looks sexy in
and
this outfit.
And at first I thought, like, oh my god, this is just like her evening. Like, it looked like a dress. Like, she was wearing, like, one of her classic pajama sets.
Yeah.
Until you get, like, the distant view. And I was like, oh my god, dude, she's got, like, full-on, like, flapper sequins happening. Like, it's an amazing
outfit. Really is.
Yeah. So, but then they're interrupted because Roland and Joss come in with 15 bags and their baby. And they thought that they were going to be alone in here, and that since nobody was using the room, why not?
At very first.
Yeah.
When they first walked into the room.
Yeah.
I got pissed.
Me too.
I was like, damn it.
I know.
Can Moira and Johnny never get a moment, like never get something to themselves?
True.
But then.
Yeah. And then they want all the sympathy points.
We find out why they're there.
All of this talk, right, about how Roland and Jocelyn have been renting out their extra bedroom just to make some extra money to help cover the loan on this place.
Yeah.
And that they really just needed like 1 or 2 days away so that they can feel like they have their own space again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a much larger conversation. It feels like it was just like shoehorned into this storyline. And I feel like, are we going to come back to this and circle back around? Because this is a big deal. Like, they're struggling here.
Yeah.
Financially, emotionally, everything. Like, this has not been easy for them.
But I also think it served a purpose that they made it that much, that they tried to make it like, oh, yeah, well, you know, we had to rent out a room, blah, blah, blah. Because they were also not trying to put that burden
right.
or trying to let the Roses know what they had to do, what they had to sacrifice to get here. Because telling the roses that they had to sacrifice something is like,
tell
me about your sacrifices.
But in a way, and I think you bring up a good point, because it does juxtapose like Moira's whole thing about like, don't we deserve this upgrade and this perk for ourselves? And it's like, well, who really deserves it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not to say that that Johnny and Moira don't deserve it, but Roland and Jocelyn have put their entire lives into this thing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's not like they're going to move into the presidential suite, but, like, they fucking have earned this weekend, to say the least.
Yeah, the whole point of buying this motel is to see, you know, profit from it.
Yeah.
To really build this business with their friends. And they're not going to have to rent out that room forever.
Hopefully,
if all goes well. So, yeah, I mean, this is temporary, you know. And hey, again, if all goes well, this is temporary for the roses as well.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
We all have to sacrifice for the betterment of, you know, this business.
For the future.
Our lives.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if it'll... if this topic of conversation will continue to be a theme.
Maybe, but I don't think so. I think that how it might be brought up again is when we do see some sort of a profit or we get an idea that this is going to go somewhere. Then it's going to be like, okay, so
that
everything.
That would be a positive conversation.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But again, who knows?
Who knows?
Like you said, this is the first that we've heard of this. So perhaps, I mean,
it's not technically the first we've heard of it, right? Because they put a second mortgage on their home to get this loan. Like, that was the first indication, I think, to us, the audience, even to the roses, to an extent. They've put everything on the line for this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then in this episode, they mentioned that Bob's been charging them a fortune for babysitting too, which is like kind of awful. Bob's supposed to be your best friend,
but he also needs the money too.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, could we strike a deal? Like, maybe Bob could be the one living there, and then like for room and board, he could babysit. Like, I don't know.
Let me go back to what I said about, you know, this being a topic of conversation again, or this coming up again. I feel like this is going to come full circle. Everything that they've sacrificed, everything that they're doing, all the money that's being spent, everything.
Yeah.
At the end, when it counts, when we talk about friendship and when we talk about what they all mean to one another, and not just the conversation of what this town and the people in it now mean to the roses, but also what the roses mean to this town.
Okay.
And to Joss and Roland. I think that's when it's going to come up. And it's going to be acknowledged by Johnny, probably Moira as well, like what they have sacrificed and what they've done for them. So that's when I think it's going to, you know, come up.
I hear that. Okay. Yeah. I want to talk about David and Patrick and their whole thing with Stevie, because talk about shoehorning in a storyline. I don't understand what any of this has to do with anything.
Really?
I struggle with this storyline.
Really?
Like, I know that it's funny. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the comedy. I think it's hilarious that Patrick looks like a carrot and the pictures are terrible and Ray's involved. And of course, it's the whole wink and the nod to the whole "this is where we met." And well, when we first met, engagement photos were happening in the background and all of that stuff. But like, what the actual fuck? Like, like, unless I guess I think I struggle because I don't understand what breadcrumb this is leading me to in the arc of David and Patrick.
I think that when we met Citrus and that whole storyline, I really had to come to terms with the fact that there's going to be a lot of filler, because I think that each episode is making it a point to make one of the storylines its focus. And I think that that's what we're having here, because everything they're not cramming everything into each episode. We're not being overwhelmed by like emotion and things happening at such a fast pace. It's all just kind of like developing as it should. And I think there's going to be a lot of that filler to kind of break things up. And I was at first like that. Like, I don't understand what this is. Like, why did we need to see this? But at the same time, I'm kind of appreciative of it because it's making that episode not as, like, jam-packed. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I know what you're saying. And I'm not taking away from the fact that we need filler. Like, I get that. I'm struggling because this shouldn't be filler. And it's being treated like filler. Like, what is happening here is we are having a butting of heads between David's vision for this wedding mm-hmm. and all of the stuff that goes with it and Patrick's lack of desire to do any of it. And that is a big, fat fucking conversation that needs to happen between these two. And it's just being peppered amongst these, like, trivial little things that are supposed to be funny and filler. And I don't – and I worry that it will never actually come to a head. And I worry that it'll just be comedy fodder. Like, oh, remember the time when Patrick was orange? Or remember the time when whatever, you know? I don't know what this is – what's going to come of this.
I mean, that's fair.
I don't mean to sound angry about it either. I'm just really passionate.
Yeah. No, I think it's fair to feel that way. I just – there have been so many times where things that happen between David and Patrick aren't taken seriously.
That's true.
And, like, I don't know, just aren't made a big deal because
it's – because at the end of the day, they love each other and it's fine.
Sure, but I guess it's also just – it can be taken anyway. Like, it could be interpreted as something serious by one person, by another person, just like, oh, my God, it was just meant to be funny. For me, I didn't – I thought it was funny more than anything. Yeah. And I didn't see – the real issue behind it. I didn't think that it needed to be a conversation. I think that once again, David was just trying to make Patrick do something that he didn't want to do and, like, also be somebody that he's not. And Patrick was very vocal about it. Like, no, I don't want to do it.
I think that if Patrick really doesn't want to do something, he should be more forceful about saying he doesn't want to do something. But I think the real problem is that he actually doesn't care enough or actually does want to do those things because he always gives in. And I think that that dynamic of their relationship, unless they figure it out and, like, nail it down, will lead to resentment for the two, like, for one or both of them. Like with this whole photo thing, right?
Yeah.
Patrick didn't want to do the photos in the first place. He went. He didn't want to get the tan. He went. The tan fucked up. He got mad. Then he gets the tan to the right level. David's like, let's take photos now. And he's like, no. Okay, fine. A couple more. And it's like,
yeah.
You know?
No, yeah. I see what you're saying. But it's funny that you say that like he always gives in. I see it different. I have always felt like he has always been the take charge one in their relationship. Like, ever since that they started working together, even before there was, like, a personal relationship.
Yeah.
Ever since there was a business relationship, it was always very much Patrick behind the register, like, David, don't you have something to do?
True.
David, you know what I mean? And I think this is Patrick's way of just being like, okay, when you love somebody, you compromise. Or you give them that because...
Or is this the show falling into a bit of a trap here, a bit of a trope trap, if you will, of bridezillas and their careless husband, or not careless, but, like, their aloof husbands who don't care. Because this facet to their relationship hasn't ever really been an issue until the wedding planning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this wedding planning is what has brought up this dichotomy, or whatever you want to call it, in this dynamic of their relationship. At least for me. I shouldn't say it like that's an objective fact, but, like, for me. And I think I just wanted more. I think I wanted either Patrick to care as much about the wedding as David seems to, or for David to understand that, like, he can't be a bridezilla with Patrick.
Yeah, that's totally valid. Like, yeah, to want more from that, absolutely, I can see that. I can see where you're coming from with that. Like, you expected more out of this.
I guess I just didn't expect it to be what I've seen a million times.
Yeah.
When it comes to wedding planning stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I can't even say that makes it sound like I had all these expectations. I didn't. But now that I'm seeing what I'm seeing, like, it feels like it's not what I wanted, you know?
Yeah. That's fair. I get that.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't just accept it on its face value of like, this is just a filler funny thing, because it feels like there's more to it than that. And I don't know what more it's leading to from here.
It may very well be leading to like Patrick having enough. And at some point, maybe it's the next episode, whoever, saying, listen, it's both of us. Because David does that thing when he's talking about this wedding. And he very much makes it his wedding.
Yeah.
When he talks about it. And Patrick's always the one, they're like ours. And, you know, maybe it does. Maybe it does come to a head in the next episode or so where Patrick's like, look, this is both of us, not just you. And if this is going to be our relationship.
Yeah.
It's both of us, right. Not just you. So maybe they might bring it up.
Not to mention the small, not so small detail that took a couple watchings for me to wrap my head around. But it sounds like most of Patrick's relatives aren't coming to this thing, which is why they're doing the photos in the first place to send them out. What's that about?
I don't know. I didn't imagine it was going to be a big wedding to begin with.
Yeah, but we knew it was going to be more than just the roses and shits, right?
Sure.
So like there will be a guest list.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't Patrick's relatives? I don't know.
I don't know.
Just little things, right?
But, like, yeah, but also it hasn't. I don't know. We're not getting those details yet.
That's true.
Like, it's going to be interesting to see when we do.
Yeah.
Who's coming? Why isn't some of his family coming if they're not? Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I can't wait to see with this wedding.
True. Me too.
A lot.
I mean, there will be a wedding, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a wedding.
Okay.
Tell you who there's not going to be a wedding for. Let's not go there yet. Anyways.
Because I had this like moment today when I was just like, what if there's no
wedding? No. No. My heart can't handle that.
Okay. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I want the wedding. I'm just like, what if? You never know, man.
Yeah. No. There can't not be a wedding.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Okay.
I would die. And then I would come back to life to die again.
I would feel a bit cheated after all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. We are invested in these two.
Yeah.
We are invested in their lives together.
Yeah.
We're invested in this wedding. There needs to be a wedding.
Yeah.
It was just like cabaret when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
They better give us something.
Right.
So they better. Oh, God.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put this thought into your head.
What if? Oh.
It happens off camera.
What if the show ends with the wedding starting and then it's just like a goodbye?
No, that wouldn't be
a good
ending.
I don't know, but just what if?
Also, that's so not the show. That's so not the show.
I would ball out of anger.
The show has to end with the four of them in a room together doing what they do best, riffing off of each other. That has to be.
Just the four of them, right?
Yeah, right. Come on. Yeah. That has to be the show. Okay. So all the stuff with like Ray and the hilarity of like David's vision for all the Annie Leibovitz jokes.
Yeah.
So fucking spot on.
Yes.
Like I fainted on a couch and just woke up. Yes.
You have a lot of money.
100%. That is so the Annie Leibovitz for Vanity Fair aesthetic.
And he was nailing it when he was throwing that. What was it? A curtain?
It looked like a tarp.
It did. It did. Ray was spot on. He
was
like,
a tarp on a couch.
Wearing a tarp. So it looks like, what did he say?
Like an English estate in the off season.
He's all, yeah.
Which we've all seen those period movies.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's the summertime, so they're opening their summer home, and all the maids and stuff are like taking the tarps and dusting everything. And it's totally that is like vision in his head that he's going for.
I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I loved. More than anything that happens in this episode, I loved Dan sharing on his Instagram all the different, like, backdrops that Ray had showed them as, like, photo options.
They're great. If you guys have not seen them, oh my gosh.
So good. Also, a funny thing. So the scene opens with they're looking at a flip book of all of Ray's backgrounds, right? And Ray is like sitting behind the flip book on the other side of the table telling them, that's me in front of a volcano. That's whatever. Which implies that he's memorized the order of his own flip book.
Of course.
He's not seeing what they're seeing, but he knows.
Absolutely.
I love that little bit, like that little bit of whatever.
But I also love that he has to tell them, like they're not seeing it for themselves. Like, oh, I did not know that was you in front of a volcano. Thank you.
That's me in front of another volcano.
Oh my god.
He's so funny. Ray is so great.
Yeah.
I had missed him.
I know, me too.
We haven't seen him since the photo shoot thingy that Alexis set up for him and
Has it been that long?
I think so.
No, he was in the Christmas one.
That was post Christmas. That was season 5.
Was it?
I think so, yeah. When Alexis comes on as the branding ambassador for the Rosebud.
Oh, jeez, Louise.
No, I lie. Because that episode ends with them calling it the Rosebud.
Yeah.
Was that season 4? Who cares? But I feel like we haven't seen Ray in a long time.
Yeah, no, it's been a while. But
door open or closed. Was that the last time we saw Ray?
Yes, that's right.
Door open or closed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What if he officiates the wedding?
Oh, I could see that.
Ah, because he wears many hats. We know that.
True. He's probably ordained already.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Can't you just see Johnny doing it, though?
No.
No?
Nope. I could see Moira doing it.
Yeah. I feel like Moira would steal focus, though.
Nope.
And David would know it. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe that's part of the comedy.
I mean, obviously, that would be hilarious.
Maybe he yells out, like, stop pulling focus. to her. Yeah, listen, my heart really wants Johnny to walk David down the aisle.
Aww.
My heart wants it so bad.
I get that.
Not Alexis.
I know. I never really saw Alexis doing it.
No. But David wants her to.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, I think we talked about this.
Yeah,
that something's going to happen. Some comedy where she's running behind or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't be there. And I think it's just going to fall on Johnny to do it.
Yeah.
And I really want that.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. And I want Moira officiating. I mean,
that's fair.
I can see it. I can see her with like a Pope hat. I can see her doing this larger than life.
But see, I can see her understanding that this is the one day that she doesn't get to pull focus and just taking her seat
maybe
in the front row and letting this be David's day.
Maybe.
That would be my like ideal Moira thing for her to realize like this isn't about me today, you know?
Yeah. Oof.
I mean, either way, it'll be great. So
I think I get goosebumps when I think about the wedding.
Aww.
Every single time I think about the wedding, I get goosebumps.
That's so sweet.
Yes.
I try not to think about it because, again, no expectations. Like, I cannot go into any of these episodes with any expectations.
It's just so hard not to, though.
I know. I understand.
You know how, like, when you're so obsessed with the show
that you dream about
and that's
it?
All you can think about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I am. Especially with this final season.
I get it.
Yeah. I can't stop talking about it either with people. People are
really?
Like, yeah, people are really annoyed by me right now.
Wow.
And sorry, friends, you're going to be till April. So, and then even after that, I'm going to need a couple months after that. Okay.
In perpetuity.
Yeah.
So David springs on Patrick that he's going to go to the spa and get what he continues to call a bit of sun when he really means a spray tan.
Yeah.
Like, he says that consistently. You don't need that much sun. Just
he's
a little
like, what
bit
do you
of
mean
sun.
Sun.
A light dusting.
Oh, my gosh. And Stevie really wants the spray tan as well.
Dude, can I just say, she looks fire.
Yeah, she does.
Fuck me.
Yes,
she looks so good.
Why do you look
hot? Oh, I got a spray tan.
Patrick gave you his appointment, didn't he?
No. I just put mine on your credit card.
Okay. Well, that's fraud, and you're a criminal. So where even is my life partner?
He's coming.
My life partner is a really cute thing for him to call him there.
It is. The moment he walks in. Oh, God.
Are you happy now, David? Is this what you wanted? You look.
I look like a cheese puff.
Yep.
Okay, you said it, not me. What happened? Did they use the Allez Vous bronzer on you?
I love that they said that.
I asked what I told them just to give me what you usually get. Well, why would you do that? I'm practically Sicilian. You don't need that much sun.
Okay.
I don't know how it works, David.
Oh, couldn't find it.
Oh,
hi, Patrick. I almost didn't recognize you. You look like one of those people who has that skin condition from eating one too many carrots.
Okay.
You know what? I can't be in photos like this, so I'm gonna go.
No. We've got this.
The
all
way
set
his
up.
Voice gets so high,
I barely notice it.
Oh. Barely notice it.
And that's what Photoshop's for.
Well, the Photoshop was an option.
Have fun with it.
Yes, have fun.
Okay, Patrick, I'm going to have to ask you to smile a little
These
more.
These poses.
This is probably as good as it's going to get right now, right?
Okay. The poses. Oh, my gosh. The way David is, like, hovering over him. Like, he's some wounded animal. But also, the way Patrick is looking into the camera and away from the camera, like,
why is he some wounded animal.
Why
is he so matte?
I was just going to say, he looks so creamy.
Like, yeah.
It looks...
But not, like, silky creamy.
Because they didn't really spray him. They put makeup on him.
I know, and that's the thing, right? But also, like... I know that he's supposed to look orange, right?
Right.
But I don't. Maybe it's just my like my color makeup on my tablet as I was watching it. But to me, he looks brown, and it's like borderline offensive.
He has brown face.
I mean,
what the fuck? Oh my god! I didn't even think of it. But now,
when he walked in, I was like, "Are they really doing this right now?" Like, I couldn't believe it.
Calm down, Kim Kardashian, and all of your advertising.
Ugh, seriously.
Look at what I love too is that the fact that the color that he is, it blends with his lips.
Yes.
So he has no lips.
He looks like a round, like he's a circle.
I can't even see his eyebrows.
Yeah, he looks like a flat circle.
He looks like an Oompa Loompa. It's great.
Oh,
it is great,
God.
And it makes it that much better how pissed off he is.
Dude.
And these photos, dude, he looks so uncomfortable.
They're maddening.
He's, like, looking away, like...
Meanwhile, like
David's
pissed.
Just like, did you catch when they were looking at the photos on the iPad?
Mm-hmm.
The one of David by himself? Just
yes.
In the chair.
Like, of course. It's probably right after Patrick got really fed up with all of this and just left.
To go take 9 showers.
One of his 9 showers, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oof, my goof.
Yeah, that was so fucking clean, dude.
It's very good. Very good.
So good. I love the way that David is just trying to, like, make everything better, but just makes everything worse so at the same time. And then Ray.
Also, practically Sicilian.
Come on.
What the fuck are you talking about?
He said at first Mediterranean.
And I'll give him Mediterranean.
Sure. And then Sicilian.
Like, what? That's taking it too far, my man. Oh, my God.
Oh,
it also
so
reminds
funny.
Me of in Friends, that episode where Ross goes to get a spray tan. Yes. And he gets, like, it all on one side of his body. So his, like, front is, like, a 12 and his back is pale.
It reminds me of Bride Wars. Remember Bride Wars?
Oh, yeah.
So with Anne Hathaway
yeah.
and Kate Hudson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where she's fucking orange.
Mm-hmm.
Orange.
Yes. And I do understand, like, from David's perspective, for the sake of a professional, nice photo that we want to pass around to our families, even us out a little bit. Like, I get it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not like I don't think he expects Patrick to maintain this tan for the rest of his life just so that they look the same. Like,
no.
No,
that's not Patrick.
No. Patrick didn't want anything. He ended up with a nice looking tan, but it only took 9 showers.
God, he's probably
Christ
his skin's
almighty.
Probably bleeding Yeesh. From all the scrubbing and exfoliating he had to do.
While he's in the shower, Stevie and David are like scrolling through all the photos they got and they look terrible. And Patrick comes out. And that's when they have this brilliant idea to get a couple of, like, random candid shots right then and there because he finally looks the way he was meant to look initially. And why not just, you know, take the pressure off and just keep it light and breezy. And so David takes his position behind Patrick once again.
He's, like, hugging his face. This arm.
Yeah, but he first puts his arm, because Patrick has his leg crossed, okay? And he fully puts his arm underneath his thigh. Like a crazy person.
Oh. And Patrick does say, like, what is going on with this arm?
What is with this arm? Which is then when he moves it to wrap around his face. David.
Oh my God. It's just so funny.
It is.
It really is funny.
It really is. It's a hilarious thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Patrick gets, like, seriously pissed for a second
there.
With all this talk about, like, well, no photos are usable. Why are we even doing this in the first place? Like, none of this shit is us. And he, it's a valid point.
It is.
One that I think David sort of just like skirts over and is like, well, this was a teachable moment. Let's take some candid shots now, you know?
But I also think it's unfair to David because it's not, sure, it's not them like together, but it's very much David.
That's true.
It's not Patrick, but it's David. So that's not fair. You know, I don't know.
But I think what Patrick means by that is like, this is not the kind of relationship dynamic that they have. Their relationship dynamic is not, let's take glamour photos of ourselves and send them out to people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you know, what we were talking about.
You've never been in wedding mode before, so you don't know.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Weddings bring out craziness or the differences in so many couples.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th. And it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Okay. The time has come.
Oh, my God.
The time has come.
I drink water
the
before this.
Is said. What? I don't know. I changed the melody on that. I will say this, when Dustin tweeted about this episode, like after it had aired, my only reaction, which I tweeted my like in response, was like, we were not ready.
No. Nope.
I wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready at all.
The minute I heard the knock on the door, I was like, this is it.
Yep.
I was like, this is the fucking, it sent me into a spiral.
Yeah. I knew exactly what he was there for.
Yeah.
I didn't know how it was going to happen.
No.
I never ever thought that he was going to break up with her and she was going to break up with him. I just knew that something
was going to keep him.
Yeah. There was going to be something there that was going to make it much more difficult for them and it couldn't happen.
And see, for me, it was the opposite. I thought that they would break up just on the merit of like, we need to break up because we're growing apart.
Mm.
I didn't foresee the obstacle being that he needs to stay and she can't go. Like that was, and I very artfully done, like organic.
Oh my God, yes.
Masterful. All the things that keep things fresh and exciting when you're watching a show like this.
What I appreciated about this ending, I guess you could say, is that they didn't try to take anything away from either one of them. They didn't, and they didn't make it stupid, for lack of a better word. Like, were things like, well, I love you enough, I'm going to go out there and like make her go or make him stay because we can't imagine them not together. It's like, no, this is real life. He was given an amazing opportunity and she appreciated it for him and realized that she could not be responsible for taking him from that. They made it them very mature in their decision, and they gave them both what they deserved, really, which is their careers and everything that they've worked so hard for. And that matters.
Yeah.
That matters. I mean, and they gave it a lot of love because not once did they act like, well, we're going to be better off without each other or, you know, well, it was great. But it was like, I love you. And they acknowledged that over and over and over again. And I fucking died when Ted said we gave it a shot. We can't say we didn't try.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did they ever.
Several things stand out to me about this entire storyline. The most obvious of which is that they did an amazing job of like not making it too saccharine or cliched. Additionally, the first ever use of flashback in this fucking show.
Did you die?
Masterful.
Yeah. Yep.
The most perfect ever use of flashback to things that we, the audience, have already seen.
Yep.
Ever.
It made perfect sense.
When they first met, he tells her that she's the most beautiful girl he's ever seen in the world.
Yeah.
And her humble brag response is like, no, I'm sure there's like some other girl.
Yeah.
And here he tells her that there will be no other woman like her in the world. And she's like, I'm sure there's like some other woman. And it's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And I feel like you didn't need the flashback, but you kind of did.
Yeah.
And the use of that flashback device, they've never done that before. And to do it in such an epic way and for such an epic purpose, it was just chef's kiss.
Yeah. They're really giving the fans maybe not so much what they want, but what they need.
That was it's so that's true. The other thing I was going to say, but that like strikes me with this whole thing, with this whole storyline, is as soon as it ended, it occurred to me, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, oh, right, the show's ending. Mm-hmm. Like, this little thing was like the first hint or inkling so far of finality.
Yeah.
It's the, you know what I mean? This felt like the beginning of the wrap up.
You were 100% spot on with that, because as I was watching it myself, and as the scene was ending and this episode was ending, it just like came over me like this wave of like, oh my God, almost panic. Like,
yeah,
holy shit, this is over.
Uh-huh.
And everything else is going to be over soon.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. And I got really emotional.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, I think that this is one of the first episodes of this final season.
Ugly cry.
Where I've gotten this emotional.
Same.
Yeah.
I ugly cried over this.
The ugly cry started with a flashback.
Yeah.
When I saw that flashback, I'm like, nope. Oh my God, they're going to fucking break up. Like, and I knew it from the moment he showed up, but that flashback was like the nail in the fucking coffin for me. Like, oh my God.
And then the cherry on top of that flashback is another classic Twyla and Alexis moment.
Yeah.
So it's like, what now? Do I leave everything behind and move to some random island to be with the love of my life? I did that with Harry Styles in England. It was like too rainy.
It is hard.
I feel like now's the point where you normally have some surprisingly helpful advice. I know you, Alexis, and you always make the right decision. Mm. Eventually. Thanks, Twy.
Man, you know, good on Twyla
always
for not saying, well, this is what you should do or this is what you need to do. It's like, she says it. She's like, "That this is hard."
Yeah.
No breakup is easy.
And
this
note
is
that hard. She doesn't, and note that she doesn't say like it'll all be okay either.
No.
She makes it a point to say that you always make the right decision, whatever that is for you today.
Right.
Here.
And that's exactly what it was. It was Alexis's decision. It was Ted's decision. This is a relationship.
Right.
This is how
right.
a relationship works. It's two people.
Yeah.
And they get to make.
Are not like these like big to-dos with fights and slamming doors and final words. Breakups in a mature relationship are two people coming to the table, quite literally.
Yeah.
And putting all their cards on it and acknowledging that it's run its course.
And it's what love is, too.
Exactly.
When you love somebody, you want what is best for them. Not for you.
Right.
For them.
I'm going to cry.
I know.
I promised myself I wouldn't do this.
You want what is best for them. And while, yes, they're making decisions that are going, you know, to benefit them as well, because it is very much about them too.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be here if it wasn't.
Right. It's about what's right for them.
Yeah.
And it, like, personally, and it's about what's the right move for this relationship.
Sure. They both acknowledge that they've grown so much and that they both deserve where they're at to
and
be where they're at now.
And helped each other get there.
Yeah.
Which was the most important thing, yeah. I think. And it's true. The thing that makes me crazy is like, it's all the things that you and I have been talking about.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the writing has been on the wall for a long time. We've predicted this, and yet the show still found a way to like make it a moment,
mm-hmm.
and make it something to like talk about, you know?
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
If things were going to end between Ted and Alexis, this is how it should end.
Absolutely.
And it's perfect. It's yeah. perfect. There's no hate in their heart for one another. There's nothing bad here.
No.
It's all good. And who's to say they're not going to meet again somewhere down the line?
You never know. You never know.
You know, but that's the love. That love will always be there. And he says right. that too. I'll always love you. They'll always love one another because it didn't end bad. This ended very, it was very mutual and with a lot of respect. Because with love comes respect. And that's what they're showing here for one another. It's great.
Ugh. I want to listen to it.
Okay.
So I feel like there's an elephant in the room and I skipped the class that taught us how to care for large mammals. I don't know how to get it to leave.
You can't move back here, Ted. You've just been offered the job of your dreams. And there's no turning back now. Just think of all those gross little flies that are still out there for you to discover.
Actually, those flies are an invaluable piece of the puzzle in the study of evolution.
He's very serious about this.
We do have our fingers crossed that there are.
He will never not be very
there.
Serious about this no, work he's been doing.
It wouldn't be Ted if he wasn't.
Right.
What about you? What are you going to do?
This might come as a shock to you, Ted, but I can't move to the Galapagos.
I wouldn't let you even if you tried. You're building something special here, Alexis, and you deserve to see where it takes you. I'm so proud of you.
So proud of you. I'd like to think that we helped each other get here.
I know that we did.
And when you get on that plane tomorrow, I want you to know how grateful I am to have met you.
I don't think I'm ever going to meet another woman who made me feel the way that you do.
Ugh, this right here.
I'm sure there'll be, like, some other woman somewhere.
Can't say that we didn't try.
I love you, Ted.
I love you, too.
And then she comes over.
And the song, too.
I know. This is just like that tableau of the two of them sitting there like that with their glasses raised will fucking live on yeah. in infamy, as far as I'm concerned. That is such an iconic scene in yeah. television history already.
Absolutely.
And it's only about 36 hours old.
Yeah. Is it just me or...
No, it's not just you.
Do you also think that things are going to be getting sadder and sadder?
Oh,
like,
my God.
There are going to be things.
If this is the first moment yeah. of finality we're getting, I can only imagine.
Mm-mm.
If the ending of Ted and Alexis, this momentous 6-season love story,
yeah.
is the first, how do you go from here? Like, where do you go? Like, I'm going to lose my mind.
I know. So that's Ted and Alexis.
Rest in peace, Texas.
Oh, no, Texas.
Any stray observations?
Oh, let's talk about Miranda rights.
Miranda rights.
Didn't talk about that.
Oh, when she goes undercover in that wet t-shirt contest.
Oh, my God. And Jocelyn has seen it.
3 times.
Boy. Love when Moira kind of covers herself like, oh so you mean
so great.
You've seen it.
That is so great. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Oh, God.
It's just that, you go, girl. Like, I wanted to see all of these things. Oh, so good.
Wasn't she in You Go Girl with Ashley Tisdale?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
For Nickelodeon.
Okay.
About suffragettes. Let's do it. Let's get into our next segment.
Who wore what best?
Whoop, whoop.
It seems so funny to talk about that after we just talked about Ted and Alexis.
How trivial. I'll go first. Mine is hands down Alexis's gown at the end. Mostly because of just the way that it's draped across the booth at the end there. Fucking fire.
God damn it. The fucking show knows what it's doing every single fucking time.
I know.
Bothers me how great they are. Like, seriously. How it's do you true. Know to do this it's all true. The time?
It is amazing.
You know? Like, you know how to do fucking everything all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. And I sit there and I'm like, God damn it. I wouldn't even think to fucking do that. It's fucking perfect.
I know.
Honestly. So with me like yelling into the microphone saying that, mm-hmm. mine is going to be a team effort. And it's going to be, because this is the last time we'll ever be able to say this, it's going to be Texas.
Aww.
Them together in that final shot with yeah. them sitting. They both look fucking great.
They really do.
They look great.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that one last time, so it's going to be them.
Well, well deserved.
Yes, very well deserved.
Alrighty, before we get into ratings,
let's get into some of the
listener comments.
Yes.
That's the new way we're introducing
listener
that section.
Listener comments.
Like we're doing SNL intros. Listener comments.
Lady J.
The Duke.
What are we doing here? A lot. And I mean a lot of you reached out to us.
Yeah.
Every single episode that goes by, we get more and more messages, and I fucking love reading each and every one of them.
I know.
Because
you guys
everybody
are really bringing it.
Has such a different perspective.
Yep.
And I love it. And it makes us go like, okay.
Mm.
And it does. I don't know if it does for you, but reading them before we record really, you know, I see their perspective and I see where they're coming, and it kind of tweaks. Sometimes it can tweak where I'm coming from because it'll like open my eyes to something new.
Absolutely.
And I love that. I'm very appreciative of it. Okay. So we have, the only thing keeping me together is knowing that Alexis will get her happy ending. Even if it isn't with Ted, we know this girl is going places. # in Dan Levy, we trust.
Yes. We've learned that lesson quite a few times.
Oh, yeah. That is for sure. I'm so proud of Texas making the adult decision to set each other free.
I suppose that is what they're essentially doing. They're unburdening each other from the need to consider each other in future decisions they make for themselves in order to allow them to continue to grow and thrive and be successful, which is pretty great.
Jennifer K. Leach.
Jennifer K. Leach.
We said at the beginning of this episode, her word was switch. And she says, the episode was full of unexpected changes from Patrick's tanning debacle to Johnny and Moira maybe moving out of the motel. Then Jocelyn and Roland also surprising them to stay in the suite. And of course, the Ted and Alexis of it all. Neither of them expected how their relationship would switch off. Us viewers also were caught off guard by this switch. We have one listener who kept us very honest.
Okay.
Dairy Watch.
Dairy Watch.
Dairy
Watch. Of
course. This episode was full of fucking dairy.
Oh, my God.
With Ted and Alexis.
From the milk that went bad and fucked up Ted's stomach.
Yes. To the mozzarella sticks, lasagna, and cheesecake.
Blueberry cheesecake.
That for at the cafe.
At the cafe.
Yeah. Major Dairy Watch.
Major Dairy Watch.
Thank you for that.
Also, quick shout out once again to Twyla. Always fucking on hand, there for you to make a situation happen. She has never said no to any of these people's demands for shutting down the place or a special dinner or whatever. Like, she's always there.
From the same listener who sent us the word origins, they explain it, my word is origins because all three storylines in a way reconnected back to where it all began. Sort of for Johnny and Moira, but David and Patrick at Ray's when they first met.
Yes.
Same with Ted and Alexis in an interesting use of a flashback that we rarely see on the show, if ever. And I guess for Johnny and Moira, getting back to how things used to be.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very good.
Oh,
very
good. I am glad that the culmination of Alexis's character arc isn't some will she or won't she be with a guy. I thought that character totally lost her mojo in season 5, and I think the character has been greatly improved in season 6, again, because it hasn't been about who she is defined by a relationship with a man. I'm much more interested in her developing this great relationship with her mother and also discovering her power as someone who can succeed in her profession. The big sitcom ending of the white bride in a wedding gown was never going to happen on the show. Thank God. Now, a successful loving wedding between two men to end a series is something we haven't seen and that we need. That said, we all agree Patrick is this close to blowing up at this wedding nonsense, yes?
See?
I like that take on things. I like that. Yeah. I can appreciate
where they're although coming I don't think that there was ever any question that we would have Alexis in a white dress.
No, I don't think chapel. So.
Like, that was never my vision for her, even if she did stay with Ted, you know?
Right. I don't think that that was in the cards quite yet for either one of them. But I do understand, like, the her finding herself and her
journey
empowerment and everything not being invested in a man. Exactly. It's in herself.
Yeah.
So.
And also, interesting point about, like, her relationship with Moira, because, like,
you
know, that is something that has really blossomed and become more solid just recently, you know, after all of this Crow stuff. So that's big, and that's definitely worth exploring and putting energy in.
Alexis and Ted scenes were heart-wrenching. I felt it was coming, though. I think Dan wanted Alexis to end the series as a single, competent, independent woman.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that. Honestly, I am sad they did not end up together.
Aww. I don't know if I'm sad. I know my feeling. Like, I know I'm emotional about it.
What do you think makes you more sad? Or what makes you more sad? The fact that this came to an end, and while it's like, okay, we knew it was coming somehow, it's still just sad. Or the fact that we said before or earlier that this is the first of many endings for this show.
I think the latter makes me sadder.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's a difference between sadness and emotion. Like, and my emotionalness over this.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's sad. I mean, it's definitely not, like, happy or whatever.
Right,
you know, like,
right.
It's not like, a great job, guys. Y'all broke up. No. But it's not tinged with sadness. It just feels deeply emotional and deeply, you know, gut-wrenching. But I wouldn't call it sad. I don't know. Maybe I'm being semantic, like I'm getting into semantics and being stupid about it, but
maybe, maybe not. I just think that for me, watching this, I'm in disbelief a lot of the time. Like, oh my God, we're here. Oh my God, no way, no fucking way. Like, every time, and that makes me sad that I feel that way. I know it, but nothing prepares you for it.
Yeah, right.
It's just like. Right. Really?
It's that gut punch.
We're
it's
one that, like, more episode closer to this. I know. Like, what?
I know.
It is. It's such a fucking gut punch.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's so weird.
Earlier this year, I kept saying, because this and The Good Place are like more like my two shows.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, I've never been this excited for shows to end before.
Yeah.
Not because I need them to be over, but because I really fucking want to see how they end.
Mm-hmm.
And that remains true for me with Schitt's Creek. I am genuinely more, I think, excited to see what is waiting for me in the next however many episodes.
Sure.
Than I am anxious or sad about the fact that it's ending. It's this weird mind game. And yet, with every episode that comes with its emotional turmoils and things, it, like, fucking hits me. And it's like, ugh, and I let myself feel all the feelings, you know?
Like,
it's crazy.
We're in it now. My gosh.
Man. All right, let's get into our ratings.
So, I loved this episode. I thought it was really funny. Couldn't stop laughing at Moira and her comedy. I really liked David and Patrick's storyline. Seeing Patrick walk in with an orange face is all the stars right there. All the fours, fives out of fives for me. But I think everything wrapping up with Ted and Alexis and the fact that the show was able to not disappoint and not make it any less than what it should have been, any more than what it should have been, they did it perfectly. And for that reason alone, I am giving this episode a 5 out of 5 scalp massages. because that that storyline for me. Everything else is funny. It was great. I loved it. Super. But that right there was exactly what we needed. And they did a beautiful and amazing job. And that deserves 5 out of 5 scalp massages.
So I'm giving this 4 out of 5 perquisites.
Okay.
I agree with everything that you said. It's amazing. It's hilarious. Texas is amazing. Every inch of that storyline from T to B is like chef's kiss perfection. And I can't give it the full 5 because most of it I didn't care for. I didn't feel like I got anything out of the David and Patrick, and I feel like I didn't get anything really out of the whole presidential suite stuff. So yeah, so 4 out of 5 perquisites because this is like an amazing episode.
Nice. It touched me. Well, I think that does it for us.
Yeah, that's gonna do it for another episode of Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast. Why do I sound like an anchor closing
the news? I don't know. Why do you?
From all of us here at Up Schitt's Creek Podcast, have a pleasant tomorrow.
Okay.
Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Up Schitt's Creek Pod on Instagram and Facebook or at Up Schitt's Creek on Twitter. You can send us an email at upschittscreekpod@gmail.com or on any of our social medias, as you all have already done a million times, which we love you for. You can also subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/upschittscreek, where you get a number of different perks at different levels, one of which, the newest of which, is merch at the podcast producer level. Woo! And till next time.
We love you, shitheads. Kiel Vage.
Blessings.
This episode is brought to you by the generous donations of Emily and Lucina.
Well, hello, you.